Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code RAMBLE at the checkout. A better web starts with your website. Ow.
Do what you want with my body, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke.
All right.
And Pete.
Hello.
Fantastic. The Fab Four in your ears, ladies and gentlemen. Now then, David Moyes. They want him out. Well, certainly the people flying the aeroplane do. The wrong one. Moyes out was what the flyby banner said. If you could have chosen what the flyby banner would have said, Jim, what would you have gone for?
Well, I think they've taken the wrong kind of tact, really. Obviously, they're just trying to get at Moyes. They should be trying to motivate the team. And obviously, United have got a lot of fans, so they can afford a whip round. So what I would have said on the plane was, next United player to score wins this plane. Mm. And they'll be looking up at that thing, I haven't got a plane. Or if they have, you know, I could definitely use another plane. So that might motivate them to actually try a bit harder rather than getting on their backs.
Mm, that would be a good idea, to make sure that they were focusing on something way up in the sky rather than on the task in hand and the ball.
Well, you know, they've got enough problems, so just throw another one in the mix, and that'll motivate them to overcome that as well.
You'd want the banner to be detachable if you were going to have to play, because it'd be a bit annoying otherwise.
Yeah, it would float down, getting gradually more enticing as it reached the pitch.
It's not a glider.
No.
Is that your answer?
That's my answer.
Okay.
Self-evidently, that is his answer. Yeah. I've got empirical evidence to suggest that is his answer, because I was sat here when he answered it.
Luke, what have you got?
I've gone for a slightly different flavour.
Yeah.
I've gone, I believe it said the wrong one, Moyes out.
Yeah.
I've gone for the wrong suit, Moyes out.
Oh. Mm.
Because he was wearing a suit against Aston Villa, and it was good enough to secure them the win. But they would have won by more goals, I think we all know this, if he had the three-piece suit on. Mm. That's just science, right? I would have gone the wrong suit, David Moyes, and then, to really sort of emphasise the point, I'd have put the whole of Old Trafford in darkness.
Yeah.
And on the big screens, I'd have played the entirety of The Wrong Trousers with Wallace and Gromit, but having David Moyes' face on Wallace.
Right, OK.
And Gromit can be Rooney. Because Rooney bails him out of the scrapes.
Yeah.
So Rooney could play Gromit.
Did Pete write this for you?
And no, I haven't finished yet. And the penguin with the little hat on to make him a chicken would probably be Pellegrini.
Yes, of course.
No, it'd be Balotelli, because he had one of those hats.
Oh, yeah, because Balotelli,
Very good.
There you go. So, yeah, that's my one.
Excellent.
The wrong trousers, sort of Gromit.
Taking the question and sort of run with it.
Mm. Yeah, I like it.
To a place where nobody wants to go.
But it was thought out.
Yeah.
So, excellent. Peter?
My banner would simply say, the gift of flight is a gift from our Lord and should not be taken in vain, for crying out loud, how old are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a longer banner, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to sit up a lot earlier.
I think it would get caught in other planes' propellers, I think.
Yeah. Or the Paddy Power message that went over.
What was the Paddy Power message? I missed this.
Paddy
completely.
Power put the odds of Alex Ferguson rejoining next season on a plane at, like, moments after the Moyes one.
I mean, carbon footprints, guys.
Nothing is safe from marketing these days. And certainly not this show. But if that banner did get caught up in another plane's propellers, it's not what you want.
It's definitely not what you want, no. I don't think either pilot would want that.
No, no. But I didn't like the way that... I mean, because the thing is, I'm against that idea anyway, but I don't know how you guys feel about it, but if they had just done it and not pre-promoted it and put it on telly and had an interview with the pilot on ITV, for God's sake, and all this other stuff, it just seemed a little bit sort of more, even more cynical than otherwise.
It just seems... It's embarrassing. I thought it was bad enough when there was that petition to stop Tom Cleverley playing for England. It's just... It's pathetic. It's like live keyboard
But that wasn't
warriors.
United fans, was it, though?
No, but it's the same sort of thing. And it's just embarrassing. Like, it's not going to have any bearing on what they're trying to change. Yeah. It's just people moaning, throwing their toys out of the pram. Mm. Do you really think... do you honestly think the United board are going to sack David Moyes because of a plane?
It just makes you look petulant, basically.
It does.
Yeah, if they'd have told nobody and it had gone over and people would have gone, oh, what's that? Oh, you know.
Because didn't Burnley fans do one for Blackburn, saying, like, Keenan or something?
They did, yeah. Something like that.
Because that's actually quite witty. Because when I heard it was £800 to do it, I initially thought, oh, just use the money on something much more deserving, you know, give it to charity or whatever. You know, if you don't want to support the team, don't support the team. But you're undermining everything. And actually, the vast majority of United fans supported Moyes, didn't they, on Saturday and all that other stuff. But I was going to say that, then I thought to myself, £800, that's not that bad.
No.
Let's have a whip round and get something good going on.
Well,
I
thought the footballramble.com.
That would be good.
Maybe fly that would be
good. There was an American comic, I forget his name, who... started a Kickstarter to hire a skywriter to write How Do I Land Above LA.
Did it happen?
It did happen, yeah.
There was also a guy in LA recently who, didn't he try and propose to his girlfriend with a skywriter?
Shia LaBeouf did some mental thing as well with a skywriter, didn't he?
He's lost it, he has.
The Daniel Klaus cartoon that he'd stolen.
Stole it, yeah, that's right. Was it an apology or something like that?
Yeah, it was like, sorry.
He stole all of his apologies.
Just pay him some money.
On that note, Pete, maybe the people who hired it last week could do an apology this week.
Sorry for what they did.
Moyes in. Call it quick.
Sorry about what happened. I mean, we're grown men who paid for this.
Again, too long.
I'd probably just have Sven question mark.
No need for the question mark. Exclamation mark.
It would be brilliant if really, really rich people started using these planes sort of as Twitter during games. Yeah, so it's just constant. Yeah. It's endless flow of it above every match that's going on.
Or like texting your mates. One bloke in the crowd gets it.
But you'd have to text them and go, oh, look outside. You know
what I mean? But once it would become established, you would just, if there was something up in the sky, you would be like, oh, is that... thing he's trying to get in touch with.
I mean, is that one for me? Or is that one for me? I don't think I've got a doctor's appointment planned.
Oh, he sacked me off again. excellent stuff. Luke's got the points. Wallace and Grobbit mentioned.
I think we all knew that.
Yeah, I think we did. Manchester United, they beat Aston Villa 4-1, though.
They did
beat Aston Villa 4-1.
Promise to chuck up a play with a banner every week. Did the business.
Banner with goals on it or something.
Yeah, banners.
Confusing.
Yeah. Shame that...
Get Bruce Banner.
Well, I was going to say...
don't get him.
Yeah, not
he's a United fan. That's the last thing you want this season.
Shame Bannon's not playing for Aston Villa.
sort of works.
it's near as damn it. Westwood with a lovely free kick.
It was a nice one, wasn't it? Yeah.
I did think to myself, oh, no. For Moyes' sake, they've got to turn this around. But they did. Mm. Rooney doubled straight back on top.
Oh, his header was brilliant. Just absolutely rooted to the spot.
It was so accurate. I mean, it's the only place... I mean, on that side of the goal, it seemed to be the only place he could put it to get it past the keeper and off the post. Mm. I actually think United deserve an awful lot of credit. Not because it's been hard for them this season at home. And this is a season of huge transition for them, as we've said, but to have that subtext beforehand, this narrative of this banner and the negativity supposedly around, and I'd like to reiterate that actually the United fans were really supportive of Moyes on that day, of course, as they have been in general, but for them to then go a goal behind quite early on,
it's a lot of character
I think to go back and actually recall what was quite a handy win in the end. I don't think it was vintage United by any means, but it was a solid win, you know.
Match of the day, there was a stat that said that Manchester United have never lost a Premier League home game in which they were led at half time.
That's true, yeah.
That is absolutely remarkable.
In the Premier League era, that is, yeah. Yeah, that was, it was all, because it was Ferguson's record.
Yeah.
And
now it's Moyes's.
Now it's continued. Yeah.
Didn't someone score against the midweek in the first minute of play, and that was the first time that's ever happened? Oh, yeah, Jekyll. Carson City, yeah. It was the first time that's ever happened to Manchester United in the Premier League. No one's ever scored in the first minute against them.
Wow, there you go. I didn't know
creating new negative records all over the place.
Yeah. But more positive one was Mata got his first goal for Manchester United. Not really a record, more of a stat.
That was an absolutely horrendous Sunday League scramble as well. I mean, Mata, it was almost like Matt was like, hang on a minute, I am world class. Yeah. I'm
Juan Mata.
Yeah. Yeah, you know it's not the best of goals when you can relate to a situation that you've been in on the football pitch.
Hernandez didn't look that happy to score, did he?
No. He didn't, did he?
It must be so bored of coming on with 10 minutes to go by now, though.
It's a state of modern football where I actually thought at the time, did he play for Villa? Is that why he's not? He's just angry.
He is. Well, he must be a little bit. He's thinking, we need goals. And even now, under Moyes, I'm still a bit part player.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think he'll go, maybe move on?
Oh, I think he's got to, hasn't he, Hernandez? It doesn't seem like he's ever going to be considered a first-team player there.
Yeah, I mean, he's won the league with them. He's played in the Champions League final. You know, he's achieved a lot.
He certainly deserves to be leading the line for someone. He's way too good to be a bench warmer. You know, that's great for United. You've got to have a player of that quality if you want to fight on so many fronts. But for Hernandez, you know, at his age, he's getting older, as we all are.
Yeah.
And, I think it would be a shame to see him leave the Premier League, but he's been linked with Atletico quite a lot, and that would not surprise me at all.
He'll get his game midweek.
Yeah. I can see him doing it all sorts at a club where he actually plays consistently.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's got so much potential. I mean, when he first signed for United, I don't really think Ferguson thought at the time, oh, he's going to go straight in the team. If you remember, he hit the ground running so quickly.
He got 20 goals in that first season.
Yeah, right.
He was certainly not one for now.
He's got a few this season. Obviously, he hasn't played an awful lot. I think he's only made like three or four starts in total or something like that. So
I love one for now. He's even better.
Did you see the computer game company Game that said that you can go into any
retailer?
You can go into any one of their shops countrywide and swap a Manchester United season ticket for a game, most notably FIFA 14.
How droll.
Why? It is a bit...
What's the point of that?
Ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, companies now getting involved in like sticking the boot into them. It's crazy. The whole world is trolling Man United.
Mm. I saw something quite funny on Twitter where a Man City fan had tweeted in response to a Man United fan saying, "Where were you when you were shit?" to a Man City fan, and he replied saying, "Certainly not flying banners over our home stadium." But in fairness to City fans, they always turned out in the numbers when City were poor.
Yeah, you cannot throw
about
that accusation at them.
You can't say against City.
3-0 at the Swamp. When they were kicking off, I thought it's been worse.
Yeah,
and more recently, recently as well. Yeah. But yes, I understand. It's not so good for West Brom and Cardiff.
What a game! Oh,
they drew 3-3, but a point. I mean, for Cardiff, you obviously were about to lose the game, so you register a point is better than none, of course. But for West Brom, it must be bitterly disappointing, because that win would have just nudged them that further bit away.
It's ridiculous, though, isn't it? It's just getting absolutely ludicrous at West Brom. The way they're playing, they deserve to go down. There's just no fight there.
They've won one of their last 10, I think. And Berahino did that thing that David Ginola did for France, which got him out in the wilderness for about basically the rest of his career at international level. Berahino giving the ball away and letting the team equalise like last minute.
There was still a lot to do after Berahino.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. But you should have just taken it into the corner.
Yeah.
It was the injury time was pretty much already up. But that was such a big point for Carlo, because if West Brom had won that, Cardiff would have been in real trouble. I think the gap would have been 6 points, and it's 3 now.
Yeah.
Obviously, Sunderland have got a couple of games in hand, but I mean, that was such a huge point for them. And it's funny because you really wonder how well Solskjaer's doing with the players he's signed. I mean, I'm sure he's signed a couple of Norwegian players who haven't really even featured. Mm. I mean, I think he scored the equaliser was one of his signs, but there's two players he signed from, I think, from Molde. I don't think they've played. They might have played once or twice, and you just wonder, well, hang on a minute, why are you signing them then? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a. It's an unusual decision, isn't it? He obviously knows the Norwegian League is very different from the Premier League, so it's a bit of a punt to sign them immediately when you don't really know what you've got at your own disposal.
It's almost like he just wanted players around him for the sake of it.
Yeah, or maybe players he knew that would help him bed in and make him feel comfortable in new surroundings.
I felt really sorry for Buffuma, who scored the goal to put West Brom 3-2 up, because he so clearly thought he'd won the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
He thought, oh, I'm going to go down history now.
What about Amalfitano with his
goal? What a goal.
Jordan Much as well. It was a beautiful game for those.
Did Much mean that one?
I don't know. Do you think Amalfitano did? Yeah. It looked more like he did.
I think in that sort of pressure cooker of an atmosphere, I think any goal being scored is a, a feat of human.
Did he mean it? We don't give a damn.
Yeah. Well, if you treat it in a sort of like philosophical way, really, every single goal is meant. You always the ambition is to score a goal.
Mm.
So ultimately, on some basic level, all the goals are meant. Because that's your target, isn't
it? If Amalfitano didn't mean that, I don't know what he did mean.
No. Amalfitano clearly meant that. I'm talking about Much.
Yeah. Much as was probably a cross. One. Yeah. But Amalfitano is just one of the goals of the season, in my opinion. Such a good goal.
What a goal it was. But yeah, it was a brilliant game at the Hawthorns. And it's the ending as well, like two goals so deep into injury.
I thought there'd be a pitch invasion.
No, it wasn't a winner.
Oh, come on. Come on.
It's not a winner.
Well, if they start by 1 point, then you tell you what, they're going to go back and do a retrospective pitch invasion.
We're not far away from pitch invasion season. No, it's going to start happening.
I think we should officially announce it open. Hunting season open. Pitch invasion season is officially open.
Go for it. Get involved.
Any stewards listening are like, oh, for Christ.
The littlest victory is deemed worthy.
Just winning. I mean, really, being 1-0 up, winning a throw-in deep in opposition territory in the last minute, get on the pitch.
If it's 0-0 and you edge the throw-ins in the last minute on the stats, just pile in.
Yeah.
But, and if anyone's... you just imagine people sat in the stands. Well, you're not getting involved. Oh, I used to support the Oppo when I was a kid.
Well, so Solskjaer sort of said that if they hadn't scored that goal, they would have been definitely down and he wouldn't be able to get them up for the next match and stuff like that. He's going, well, is that kind of behaviour that's meant you're in this position? Yeah,
that is. That is part of your job.
Tim Sherwood, is that you? I was going to say, speaking of whether that point could keep him up, and that was very early to say, but Jonathan Pearce was in one for the Palace-Chelsea game. Well, every time Johnny Lisperoni made a save, the save that keeps him in the Premier League. Hang on a minute. Ages left yet.
I know. Well, there was some...
seven games.
Well, there were some big results down there. Swansea beat Norwich 3-0, which I think most people would have thought Swansea would just suddenly start thinking, hang on, we can play a bit. Let's get out of this nonsense.
Well, they're not getting rid of guys. There's too many teams.
Lovely goal to Guzman, linked superbly with Bonny for the second.
A classic 1-2, wasn't it? Beautiful. But it was just so sharp and brilliant, cleverly sort of back-heeled pass from Bonny. It was just beautiful to watch.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And you mean cleverly as in the adverb? Not in the player.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. Not to be confused.
No. Because that would have gone sideways.
Yeah. But the surprise result down there was Crystal Palace 1, Chelsea 0, of course.
Absolutely. I think, back to Swansea-Norwich, though, I get the impression that with the run-in that Norwich have got coming up and the way they played as well, that they've used all of the quality they need to stay up in that Tetty goal last week.
Yeah.
All of it there.
Concentrated. It's like a singularity of football.
Yeah. Yeah. They haven't got a chance now. Yeah. They've blown it all.
Well, their run-in is, as we've said before, is ridiculously tough. And now I don't think they've put enough space between them. They're 6 points off relegation and all the teams below them pretty much.
They have got the hardest run in.
Yeah. Yeah, but 6 points might be enough the way it's going.
You can't really, I mean, no disrespect, well, a bit of disrespect to Norwich because I'm about to slag them off, but I can't seem to get any points at their last four games.
No, right. I can't. They're just not at the races.
Pete, John Terry scored a glol.
He did, I think.
An oglol.
Yeah.
Such an attacking header. It's like he momentarily forgot what end he was at. It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
I mean, he's not going to pretend he's been
enjoy
superb
it.
This season, he John Terry.
That doesn't matter right now, Marcus.
He just gave the critics just something to grab hold of.
He's
been spotless pretty much all season, off the field and on the field, inexplicably. He just needed to do something just to give someone a bit of a smirk.
A Spurs fan friend of mine said that they were not going to watch the Spurs game because he knew they'd get back against Liverpool. He'd fallen out of love of football because of how bad and laughable Spurs are at the moment. And he said, and then I saw John Terry score an own goal and thought, could be tempted back into the fold.
Oh, well. Set Blatter's unwell, you here.
Easy. Mother, cancel my cab. I think I'll stay in front of the television this afternoon.
What about Liverpool 4, Spurs 0? Liverpool are going to win the league. They're going to win the league.
And now you better believe them.
Damn right. Kabul with, well, another glol, I suppose.
Yeah, that was quite a classy glol.
He couldn't sort his feet out. It was again, Sunday league. Sort his feet out.
What about the way Liverpool, they played their way out of the trouble for the third goal, I think it was. Flanagan with a lovely sort of fake and turn.
Shot the shoulder. Beardsley-esque it was.
Yeah, Coutinho broke forward. Just gorgeous stuff.
Mm. Yeah, but the whole game, they were just playing that gorgeous stuff. It was beautiful. Someone pointed out on Twitter that all of us have misunderstood that if Liverpool win the league this season, they'll be on 19 titles, which isn't as many as 20. Four of us have made that mistake. I think United have been so bad this season, we've taken one away from them.
Which I think is fair.
I think that's fair as well. But yeah, it was a great goal.
That's
it?
Why Ferguson, he needed to give a little bit of distance.
Absolutely. Sterling was superb, wasn't he? He's such a penetrative force that, as we know, he can impregnate women that don't even exist.
Yeah.
But he was just everywhere. It was super.
Starting for England.
The great thing about Liverpool, I think, I mean, there's many good things to admire about the football stuff at the moment, but is that they I was saying to Marcus on the way here, actually, they're so tactically versatile. They can switch between formations. You've got players like Allen, Sterling, and Coutinho are slightly different players on their own merits, but they come in the team, they play in one formation, they come out if they play in another formation, they switch over, they switch in between games. Yeah. Like in the middle of games, they switch tactically as well. They're so good, dynamic going forward. They could have scored. I mean, I don't want to get. Listen, we'll have a bit of a laugh at Tim Sherwood later on, but they could have won that game 8-0. Mm. They were so good.
Spurs had more attempts.
Yeah, they had more attempts, like off target, fair play. But what I liked about Liverpool is if the opposing team's on at them and they have a couple of shots and stuff, they just don't lose their heads and they just reset every single time because they know they've got enough up top to score 20 goals, which is a new number I've just made up just then. They don't panic. They just they don't mind, inviting a little bit of pressure upon them because they're just so incredible on the break as well. Yeah.
They're so determined as well. When Kabul scored his own goal, Sturridge was so determined that even after it had crossed the line, he was trying to score, making sure it hit the back of the net and was definitely in. It was just, they're so focused on smashing it in the net.
I think the positive points for Liverpool fans, obviously, there's two main positive things, which one, it's clearly in their hands now. They win the last six games, they've won the title. Secondly, is that they're winning games in different ways and they're winning different types of games that pose different challenges. So you've got like home games against Sunderland that they're expected to win, which they could slip up, and they come under pressure, they win. Mm. They got a crazy game against Cardiff where just goals are flying in everywhere, they still win. They got games against big teams, a psychology could be a problem, that would be a problem for a team like Arsenal, like when they went to Old Trafford, they win. They just grind out wins in loads of different ways. And I think only three teams in the history of top flight football since it was formed have gone 14 games in a row winning, and that's what Liverpool have got to do to win the title. And you wouldn't bet against it. It's essentially going to come down to
some tough games, though. Yeah, the City game could be like a cup final for the league.
At home to City and at home to Chelsea. And the winner of those two games will
probably City have got their two games in hand, which is the great mystery of where this is going to go. It depends how they're doing there.
Well, that was another thing about Mourinho just saying, our title challenge is over when they were sat on top of the league. I find
that
very disingenuous.
It's just talking nonsense. Yeah.
Especially because they do have to play Liverpool and Liverpool have to play Chelsea. It's just...
It's nonsense. Absolutely nonsense.
Has he broken his own mind with mind games?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't really understand how they work anymore. Pellegrini. Oh, that sounds like controversial bullshit. Let's say that.
Pellegrini said that the big managers, and he may have used the word classy, I'm not sure, but he said the big managers at the big clubs don't need to use mind games. Which in itself is a bit of a mind game, isn't it?
Is it, though? It's one of those things. It's like, maybe if you are a big manager at a top club, everyone assumes everything you're saying is a mind game. There's no way to not do it.
It's a mind game wrapped in a mind game, like when you have a bird inside a bird inside a bird for a posh Christmas dinner.
I think it's got to the point now where in the newspapers, anything uttered by a top manager is seen as a mind game. Whatever you say. I mean... It's really difficult for them to sort of distinguish between mind games and not mind games in newspapers, chiefly because they've made up the concept.
I've heard that you can exchange your Manchester United
mind game
season ticket for a mind game.
I'll take one, please. Yeah,
I think managers should just start coming out to press conferences with chessboards. Just not saying anything, just making a move.
Every time they're asked a question,
they make a different move every time a question's asked.
And so do you think you can get a win at the weekend? Pawn to d4.
Exactly.
Check.
That means yes.
That's the sort of thing, actually, thinking about it, all joking aside, that is genuine the sort of thing Rafa Benitez would have done.
Yeah.
At Liverpool.
I think Christian Gross might have done it as well, to start with.
With his train ticket.
Yeah, that's
was
it.
Was that him or was that Jack?
No, that was him with the train ticket.
So, on to Spurs, surely.
Well, I was about to say that Brendan Rodgers, he's handled himself very well in the media. Again, I really enjoying Rodgers. Very calm. That's the thing, he's very calm. You can just imagine that he's in charge of everything that's going on in the dressing room, obviously on the field and whatnot. And when Sherwood said that Liverpool will be under a lot of pressure, and he said, well, you know, I'm sure a club who spent £100 million on players who thought they could be challenging for the title will be under pressure as well. But he doesn't do it in a sneery way. He just does it in a water off a duck
in
back
a likeable way.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's why Liverpool seems so... like relaxed in their play. I mean, basically, they're just chilled out entertainment.
That's true.
Sherwood said he sat in the stand the whole game because he didn't think he could affect the game. And it's like, well, you're probably in the wrong job then.
Like a self-imposed Pardew ban.
Yeah.
It's kind of like dugout ban.
I mean, you're the manager. Yeah. You're really meant to affect things.
Spurs played like a team in mid-table with nothing to play for.
Yeah.
It's really strange. They look like a team that's just absolutely safe and just seeing out the games. And it's bizarre.
You could
tell. More on them camera teams later on.
Yeah, yeah, coming up.
Did you see what Gary Lineker tweeted? Soldado makes me realise I wasn't that shit.
Yeah, did he tweet that?
Yeah, but that's out of context. You've missed half that out.
Have I?
He tweeted before that.
That was a singular tweet.
No, he tweeted before that saying, yeah. Lionel Messi makes me realise I was how shit I was. Yeah. And he tweeted that afterwards as like a joke.
But it's still the same sentiment.
Did he delete both tweets, though? Because I couldn't find them after.
Yeah, he did delete that Soldado one after it got about 30,000 retweets.
Yeah.
Right.
Horses bolted.
That's very harsh from Lineker.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah. But I was saying again to Marcus before we got it, like, you could tell by Spurs' like body language in the tunnel before the game. No chance of winning.
Yeah, Graham Souness was furious about that.
Was he, yeah?
Yeah, just... Hoddle and Souness were just tearing into them, but at half time and after the game about that, and how Vertonghen was just sort of leaning back on the wall. They didn't look that
Their body language was so gilet, wasn't it?
It was.
It was like a human gilet.
Rumours of a punch.
Body games.
Rumours of a punch from Sherwood, yeah, but not, I don't think that's true.
Not substantiated. So. Yeah. Did you say body games?
I did say body games, yeah.
Body games.
Yeah. Body warmer games.
Damn right.
Did Sherwood chuck his gilet from the stand?
He should have done.
Yeah. Can't affect the games.
Mm. He should have chucked his gilet from the stand onto the pitch with a goldfish in it, like for Luca Brasi in the Godfather. As like a threat. Like a really middle-class threat.
Yeah. If you don't like this, I might sub one of you. I'm not quite sure if I'm allowed to do that because I don't know if I can affect the game.
He does know he can't affect the game. The thing about Sherwood, it's a bit of an enigma because... he is really like salt of the earth, working class sort of guy who spits in the urinal. Do you know what I mean? That sort of guy. Yeah. Sort of guy who'll call your girlfriend darling the first time he's met her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And kiss her on the cheek for way too long.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll probably refer to her as your Doris.
Yeah. But he wears a gilet, which is almost exclusively a sort of middle class pursuit, isn't it? So what do we make of it? That's what I'm saying. It's a mystery to me.
It is the big question.
Debating all the hard-hitting...
I was at the Emirates for Arsenal versus Manchester City. It was one thoroughly entertaining game. Much better from Arsenal, I thought.
Cheap sheets or not?
They don't do them anymore, mate.
I would like to know specifically where you were sitting for that game.
You know where I was.
I don't know.
I was sat above the Man City fans.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. What? Literally or figuratively?
Yeah. Salmon and beef before kickoff. Together, yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes, I did it. What was I going to say? Oh, yes, Arsenal. They dug in.
They did dig in.
They bloody dug in, Jim. And okay, they didn't win the game, but it was a psychological point.
Absolutely. I think, though, it is frustrating that after the tough running we've had, waking up in the last 45 minutes of it is kind of seen as digging in. We should have dug in ages ago.
Yeah.
And again, Podolski made a bit of a mistake that led to the opening goal, which is like, I mean, you know, everyone at Arsenal loves Podolski, but people are sort of questioning whether he's maybe kind of, just too casual in
big games.
Missed
a great chance.
He did as well. I think it's almost as if in the bigger games he's not used to the pace of the Premier League. In the other games he's fine, but it's strange. I've not seen a player kind of react like that to the pace of the league before. But, you know, it's a much better display. Obviously, it gives us a bit of... bit of a kind of kick up the arse in terms of the final running, because we're now looking over our shoulders at Everton and we play them next. So, again, that's another tough test
Everton
coming
as well.
Up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I think the priorities of the season have changed dramatically in the last few weeks or so. Now it's win the cup and finish as strongly as you can. I don't think anyone's expecting Arsenal to win the league.
A little bit of a shame, really. Flamini got the equaliser and he was brilliant. I mean,
he's a brilliant player.
He's great to watch in the flesh because you see what he actually does.
Mate, it's
he
hilarious.
He charges
well.
Around.
And I don't know if you were sat too far away, but often at the Emirates you can hear him.
Hilarious.
He's just barking at nothing sometimes.
Yeah. Like, they need that.
I've noticed that before. A lot of energy in his performance. I've seen him play before and I thought that. I would be a bit more cynical about Arsenal. I'd think that went a goal down fairly early on and you just think, well, they think that they've got nothing to lose now. They're expected to lose the game, so they'll just throw the shackles off and get on with it. And if they could take that mentality into every game from the start, where they could actually just back themselves.
Had been the case for a long time, though. But obviously, the big defeats have rocked that, and it clearly takes a while to get over. I mean, the 2-2 with Swansea was absolutely nightmarish. The last minute own goal from Flamini, funnily enough.
But do you not think? I mean, I might be getting this wrong. I'm sort of off the top of my head here. I've not got anything to back it up substantially. But I just can't remember the last time I saw Wenger getting involved in any sort of dust up. He just seems really meek now, and I think his team are in his image. They're just meek, and they need to really back themselves. They go to Everton at the weekend. I wouldn't back them to win that. Not a chance.
I know what you mean by that.
No, I disagree. I think they'll go into that fighting for it.
We'll see, won't we? Yeah, we'll see.
I do know what you mean there, Luke. I think that's why it was... Look, here we are talking about Flamini. Isn't it great he was shouting at his players?
Yeah.
And that tells you an awful lot. And Flamini has...
It's not Flamini alone in that, though. Mertesacker does that as well. Bakary Sagna is an absolute
but
warrior
Flamini hasn't,
on the pitch.
Hasn't played.
I bet Mertesacker's got a really weird voice.
Yeah.
A really sort of deep voice, like Peter Cech.
Yeah,
does Peter Cech have a deep voice? Yeah, Peter Cech sounds a bit like a Muppet.
An old Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, yeah.
Shut your noise, you old frog.
But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the game, and Arsenal fans seemed a lot happier towards the end of the game. They were singing away and whatnot because of the display, and as Luke said, they went 1-0 down, but they came back, and it was...
Oh, they deserve a lot of credit, folks. Man City are a good team, obviously.
Yeah, indeed. What about Southampton? 4-0 against Newcastle. Mm. The Saints were superb.
It wasn't against Newcastle, though, was it? It was against the bodies of some Newcastle players.
It was some shirts, I think. Some replica shirts, some tramps had just got on the field somehow...
Some meat training cones.
My goodness. Rob Elliott, though, not the keeper. He's made some good saves.
Well, he had a lot to do, didn't he, Marcus?
Yeah. Look, I'll do what I can. All right, I'm doing my best.
They could have been about 10-0. Yeah. Off, they really
their first goal was absolutely scandalous. There should be some sort of fine system in place for that.
I think Newcastle registered a shot off or on target to like 57 minutes or something like that. It's just insanity.
So bad.
On the beach. Yeah. Not even on the... I don't know what beach they're on.
The Rio beach, maybe.
They've come off the beach. They're relaxing.
When Pardew came into the stadium before the game and shook hands with Mike Ashley, they both looked like they had got to the bar of like a holiday complex and were waiting for the entertainment to come on. Like there was absolutely no intensity or anything. It was just like, oh, how you doing? All right, saw you at the swimming pool early, didn't I? Yeah, all right, yeah, drop it. That was it, you know.
Should Rodriguez go to the World Cup, Pete?
I think most of Southampton's front line should go to the World Cup, personally.
Yeah, I do as well.
Yeah, I'd love to see
it. It was kind of heartening in that sort of sense. It was like, nice to see a marauding England front line.
That's right, absolutely.
I mean, there's still a little way to go. But I'd love to see Lallana in there in particular.
Yeah, Lallana.
He'll go.
Come on, Jim, get off the fence, mate. Lambert?
Fucking why not?
Hey!
Get them all in there.
Lambert is 6 Andy Carroll hat tricks away from the World Cup. if Carroll scores like a hat trick in every single game in the last few games, whatever.
He'll put himself in contention.
No, I think the three of them deserve it.
So I think Shaw will miss out, but I think the front three should go. I mean, to me, it looks like
Luke de Jong should go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did he play at the week? I don't think he played, came on, didn't he?
Yeah.
Had a little dance around for a bit. Yeah, on the south coast, enjoying myself.
That's right. Yeah. Cisco's still there.
Yeah,
and Albert Luque.
I'd take Albert Luque right now. Jesus.
I was going to say, I think Luke Shaw might miss out, and I think it might be between Rodriguez and Welbeck, which means he might. I would prefer to see Rodriguez go.
But I think Welbeck maybe offers a bit more functionality.
Yeah, and to be fair to Welbeck, he has done okay.
Yeah,
but Rodriguez is very versatile, though. He's played a number of different positions this season.
That's true. That is true. Ireland are not going to qualify for the World Cup. Well, they haven't qualified for the World Cup. But obviously Roy Keane and Martin O'Neill got a little bit of a job on their hands coming to the next qualifiers. Roy Keane was on the same flight back to Cork from England as Stephen Ireland's nan. Yes, that nan.
She died in 2007.
No, she's still alive.
All right.
And she was talking to Roy Keane, asking Keane if her grandson would get a recall to the national team. I mean, that's just wonderful, isn't it?
How do we know that happened?
Eh? Well, because Keane mentioned it.
There
were quotes from Keane about it, yeah.
What did he say? Was he up for it or not?
I think he'd be the one human being in the world who wouldn't kind of just go along with it and go, yeah, I reckon he could probably get back on the side.
And here's why, no.
Yeah. No, I think he was so startled to see what he probably thought was a ghost. he was like, if he plays hard, you know, we'll see what's going to happen.
Well, gets his Superman pants out again, we'll see what happens.
Jim, what do you reckon?
Dead people coming back to life?
I'm
all for it.
As is Jim. I'm all for it. I'm just skeptical.
Well, Jim, it's one of your favourite stories, but you seem to be quite dumbfounded by it.
Well, I don't have much more to add.
Yeah, okay. That's
it's one of those stories that does tell itself.
Yeah.
You don't need to add anything to it or take anything away from it.
Okay.
It's Roy Keane and a previously thought dead man.
Yeah.
That's, for me, that is ticks all the boxes for a story.
Let's go to the Championship. Burnley lost the big one against Leicester City at home. 2-0, Jim. 2-0. The different scorer had no problem celebrating against the former club.
Because he's classy.
And he's professional.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate for Burnley because they didn't have Danny Ings.
And they lost
Folks. And Folks went early on, didn't they?
Yeah, it was a bit of a shame.
But it does show you how sort of... how good Leicester have been. They just looked a cut above Burnley, and Burnley have been fantastic this season. Even, you know, even missing those two front players, which is obviously a big hindrance to them. But they're just loving it, aren't they? They're just absolutely marching to the Championship title. And Chris Wood.
Not Chris Wood is the
Chris Wood's goal. You didn't let me finish.
Oh, sorry, mate. But anyway, listen, and let's talk about the facts here. Yeah, the facts are 20 league goals for David Nugent this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people mocked me. They used to mock me. Mm. I used to walk down the street and go, people would just go, oh, David Nugent. Look at him. He looks David Nugent. You're not laughing now, are you? 20 no. league
so
goals.
In the summer, when there's no more football, does his nickname go from the difference to the facts?
The fact, yeah, I might change it. Given that I have bestowed upon myself the role of David Nugent's nicknames, that he is unaware of. He doesn't even know what his nickname is. I might change it up.
The Nugent's hype man, you are.
Yeah, I am.
Next season, I think, will be a very different story in the Premier League.
25 yeah.
Probably
goals.
start off back at the Nuge and see where he goes from there.
I can imagine this time next season that I'll be going, yeah, but he's had his problems with injuries. I mean, he's not had the opportunity, you know.
hey, he could do a job, though, in Premier League next season.
I'd like to see him go to the World Cup.
As a spectator?
yeah.
On the
yeah.
BBC?
With me.
yeah. What about Ipswich Town? They drew 1-1 with Nottingham Forest. Both teams are 2 points off a playoff spot, but Nottingham Forest, they sacked Billy Davis, didn't they?
Mm. Because he's an idiot.
That seems to be everything coming out of the club. Yeah,
apparently Derby fans call him Billy the Poison Dwarf.
Oh, that's
wow.
nice.
A bit nasty. Cool,
you call him King
Billy.
Surely
they should be a big fan of him.
Yeah. yeah.
But a couple of managers have turned their job down since we last recorded. And Stuart Pearce turned it down.
Mm. I mean,
and
they're Warnock. Going back in, though, aren't they? To go, oh, go on, though.
Oh, really?
Stuart Pearce.
Give it another go.
You can play if you want.
How dodgy must the setup be there if Stuart Pearce, who's a Nottingham Forest legend, doesn't want the job? You know, and he's not exactly sort of drowning in offers to be polite to Stuart Pearce. You know, he's not exactly drowning in offers, so I mean it must be a wizard. Neil Warnock turned it down as well. Neil Warnock's managed everyone.
Yeah.
He only needs that to complete the Championship set.
Mm. It's like, Neil, do you want to manage this football? Yes.
Yeah, I already am. And if I'm not, how come I am? Nottingham Forest is the shiny left in his stick around with Championship clubs.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't want anyone tweeting into all of us saying, oh, he hasn't managed my club, Leeds. He has.
Yeah.
Right?
yeah, Leeds.
He hasn't managed mine, Doncaster. He has. Yeah. Don't check it, but he has.
Good. Elsewhere, the Johnstone's Paint Trophy final happened.
Yes, were you there as well, Mark?
I was there again.
Did you pay for that one or not?
Easy.
Yeah. And, freebie speller over there.
If you get invited, you get invited.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got friends with tickets, or benefits, as I call them.
Well, which are tickets.
Yeah, specifically.
Chesterfield won Peterborough 3. Peterborough, eh?
Sir Alex was there. He was chuffed, wasn't he?
Of course he was, yeah, for his son, yeah. Assun Belonga, he played well, he made it 3-1 from the penalty spot. They were down to 10 men, the Posh, but they're just, they're a division above, of course, it's always very difficult for...
Assun Belonga, I mean, the weight of, I haven't seen as much as Peterborough as some, but the weight of... how much they rely on Assun Belonga for goals. I mean, he's got 25 odd league goals this season. Mm. The next person has scored about 5, maybe a couple more. But they rely on him so much, and they showed it again in what I saw from the Johnstone's Paint Trophy final. But 10 men, I mean, it's a great result for them.
Yeah, Darren Ferguson in at Old Trafford in the summer.
I'll tell you what.
Well,
I'm surprised Ferguson didn't give him the nod. did you hear about? I did my spot on Nazan this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And love those guys.
Yeah. Good job. And this morning, and the presenter told me that he read a piece from someone saying that when Ferguson gave Moyes the job, apparently he rang him while he was out shopping. Said, come to my house. He's like, all right. Bit odd. All right. He goes around there. He just gives him the job. Doesn't give him an opportunity.
I read that
give him an opportunity to say no or anything.
Yeah, he said, you're going to be the next Manchester United manager.
Yeah.
He was unhappy at Moyes because Moyes... took out changed the backroom staff, and apparently Ferguson was upset about it.
Yeah, but he can fuck off, can't he? Because it's his job now. Yeah.
But didn't that cover Richard Keyes?
Did it?
Yeah, oh, did it, really?
I think that's what I read.
Richard Keyes has at some point confused being a football anchorman to...
being a former player
thinking everyone wants his opinion on football, which isn't his job. Yeah. I think you do well to remember that as well, Mark.
Thank you. What about in the non-league? Salford FC. Salford FC, subject to an FA approval, they've been taken over by Gary Neville, Paul Scholes and Ryan Giggs. Phil Neville and Nicky Butt also involved.
Of course they are.
They're all making financial commitments.
They're like Salford. They're like a football boy band.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Robbie Savage just outside trying to get in.
Guys.
Your money doesn't mean anything around here.
Yeah. But seriously, there's five of them. Does anyone not really think that they're a bit like when Take That reformed? they're still everyone's talking about them, they're still doing stuff.
Yeah.
That's all right though.
They're missing Robbie.
Probably dodging tax.
Not in the same way.
Yeah, but the Take That reunion tour.
That was excellent.
What was that?
Give him more credit for that.
I didn't hear.
Sorry, I was talking over. Do it again, Jim.
Said they're missing Robbie, but not quite in the same way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Good. Paul Scholes apparently turned down a coaching job at Manchester United, so there's rumours that he may manage this side.
Yeah, Scholes apparently pops in and helps out with the under-21s at United on an ad hoc basis whenever he's asked, but he said he doesn't want to do anything more formal than that at the moment. Mm. He was really good the other night on punditing.
This is all, meanwhile, David Beckham's unveiling his plans for Miami FC in Florida.
Yeah. He's gone solo and gone massive.
He has, yeah.
Well,
he's cracked America.
Well, he's the Robbie Williams, isn't he? Yeah. Despite that excellent little Robbie Savage joke earlier.
And Robbie Savage is still, sadly, Robbie Savage.
Never forget where you're coming from.
The youth trophy of the go.
I was in the youth team.
Your impression's better.
It's Scottish Premiership time, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what? Celtic have won the league.
What's the only game they've lost this season, Marcus, in the league, Celtic?
Oh, blimey.
2-1 to the Dandy Don.
That's right, yeah. I was thinking
in second
Cannon,
place and flying.
Yeah, they're currently on 85 points, Celtic, comfortably ahead of second place Aberdeen on 59.
Am I right in saying Hearts still aren't technically relegated?
No. Well, Hearts are going to go down.
They beat Hibs, didn't they?
But in the Edinburgh Derby, the magnificent Goggy Boys didn't give Hibs the delight of satisfaction of putting them down.
I do like the fact that we've talked about Salford FC before we talked about Celtic clinching the Premier League title.
Scottish football fans out there listening, it just goes to show you the contempt that Marcus Christopher Speller,
the man who
Scottish
sets
football
up the running order,
and grew up in Edinburgh,
lived in Scotland,
grew up in Edinburgh, turned his back on it.
As you know, I like to go country by country.
Yeah.
And if Salford FC is not in England, then I'm a Dutchman.
You're not a Scotsman.
So there's the Scottish Premiership for another year.
A comprehensive round, I agree.
Nailed it.
Yes, indeedy. No, well done to Celtic, but I mean, you know, Hearts have been relegation fodder for many a week, month now. Celtic have.
Do you feel Celtic miss Rangers? Is that putting it too? Is that going a little bit too far? Because it's going to get to that point, surely, fairly soon.
Yeah, I would have thought so, that they would miss the big games, you know.
Mm.
But I don't know really. I haven't chatted to many Celtic fans, but I know what you mean, Jim.
Might help them in the Champions League or something.
I don't know.
Yeah. Got no opinion either way. Such is the contempt I have for the Scottish Premier League.
Rangers will probably, well, not probably, almost definitely be playing Hearts next season in the league below. So they'll be looking to come up and challenge Celtic's crown, because I'd imagine Celtic will win it again next year.
Well, with Hearts out of the picture, mate.
Yeah.
I'm predicting a Don's title push next year.
Do you think?
Yeah, big time. They've lifted the trophy this season now, got a taste for it.
There you go. What about La Liga, the Scottish Premiership of the South?
It's all changed up in a week, hasn't it?
Hasn't it just? Last week's midweek games saw Atleti and Barca win and Madrid lose. So in a handful of days, Atleti went from 3 points behind Madrid, I think it was, to 3 points in front, because they beat Athletic Bilbao 2-1 away on the weekend. Yeah.
They went 1-0 down as well.
They did. It was a big result for Atleti. And Barcelona beat Espanyol away in the Barcelona derby. And if there was a weekend where Madrid might have clawed back a little bit of distance, a few points, if you will, it would have been that weekend, you would have argued.
I saw the Bilbao Atletico game and it was excellent. Atletico Madrid really ground it out. Diego Costa was excellent. He scored a great goal for Bilbao, and Costa was all over the place. Should have had a penalty, but they managed to squeeze it out.
It seemed
really
as
encouraging.
If Bilbao were playing a very high line, Atletico just kept getting in behind, and they were just patient, and it worked.
But they're all just terrified of Simeone.
Wouldn't you be?
When the player gets subbed off, he doesn't want to go anywhere near him. Terrifying, man.
Why are you subbing me off? Is it tactical? Tell me it's tactical.
Yeah. Not personal. Please don't let this be personal again.
But it wouldn't even be asking the coach to ask him.
Yeah, that's
don't
right.
tar me and feather me again.
You just ask him if he still likes me.
Yeah. My goodness. That, I mean, Barcelona play Atletico Madrid in the Champions League, I think it's this week. But that last game against Barcelona at the Nou Camp for Atleti. Let's hope it's between those two, because that would be absolutely glorious. Bale scored a double.
He did. He also did a really brilliant thing. It's very rare that you see a sort of top level player do this, where he was one on one with the goalkeeper and he kicked his own heel.
Yeah, brilliant.
And fell over.
And there was talk. The commentator tried to spare his blushes by touting a penalty. We're like, yeah. No way with that penalty.
He was around about 80 yards or something stupid for.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
His second, yeah.
He's such an athlete.
And the way that he finished it, I just thought. Thought the keeper could have. I knew where that was going. he wasn't even in the D. I was like, I know where that's getting put.
Yeah, but maybe the keeper saw that. Was it Lucas Moura chance for PSG?
Oh yeah,
when he ran and he thought, Bale, he's come this far. I'd be a real dick if I saved.
Where's Rod Fanny?
Yeah, and they were already three up or whatever it was. So
they've got like an anti-football group, haven't they? Rod Fanny, Ron Shawcross, who tried to stop the Zlatan goal. They hate anything sort of aesthetically pleasing about football, and they band together and they meet once a month.
The shitheads club.
Yeah, and they meet in at FIFA's headquarters.
Yeah,
yeah. Jack Warner's the chairman. Mm.
Everybody trying to destroy football.
Yeah.
In that setting, you could argue. Mm. Ooh, satire. Now let's go to
Zlatire.
Nice, Jim.
It's not relevant.
He wasn't involved, but we'll take it
at some point. I just want to put it out there. Yeah. Pete, if you can cut that out and just have it as a sound clip for when it becomes relevant.
Yeah,
just...
Zlatire.
Zlatire.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Lovely old job. Let's go to South America. And to Diego Corna. Diego Corna. Yeah, here we go. Strap yourselves in. The Argentinian FA has played dirty tricks on me.
Presumably this is just for no reason.
Still going
this is
on
out
about
of
it.
Nowhere.
Still
just
hasn't gotten
a press
it.
Conference in front of his fucking house or something.
Yeah.
I should have also
not with the air gun this time.
I should have also been the Argentina coach at the 2014 World Cup. But the current leaders of the association understand as much about football as Pakistan does.
I like the idea of him calling a press conference outside his house, no one turning up, and him complaining, and the press being like, well, last time you had a gun. We don't know what to expect anymore. You've got to win our trust back.
But that would be a very strange press conference where it's the press who have the bulletproof glass in front of them, wouldn't it?
Does anyone want to ask me a question? No.
Yeah. If anything, the bulletproof glass would encourage him more when it came to shooting.
Yeah, they'd be fine anyway.
Does anybody want to ask me a question? Forrest have had you up, bearing in mind I've told you that I've not got my gun with me.
Yeah.
Why has he got Pakistan?
Well, this is a strange one, but he did say, to clarify, there are certainly many good things in Pakistan, but I have never seen them play a World Cup final. I say, the current association leaders in Argentina are the same as Pakistan.
Leave them out of it.
Yes.
There are certainly many good things in Pakistan. They are the 44th largest nominal GDP. So,
yeah.
I would, if anything, I would have thought Maradona would have gone, like, compared them to Pele. Yeah. There are certainly many good things in Pele, but I've never seen. Oh, yeah, it's done.
Yeah, he was at Old Trafford for Liverpool's win. Or was El Diego?
Yeah, didn't he just decide that he wanted to go into the dressing room? And everyone was like, "Well, you can't do that. It's a game on."
Well, it was after the match, and there was obviously the press and the cameras all in the players' tunnel and whatnot. And he was like, "Oh, I'm going to go to the dressing room," and the security were like, "No, you're not. But I want to speak to Luis Suarez." Yeah, I bet you do.
Yeah,
there's a few thousand other people who would like to have a word with him, but no. He's also said that he'd like to shadow Pep Guardiola for a week, seeing how he runs the training sessions.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
What a shadow.
Yeah.
It's like an eclipse.
He had a little bit of advice for Guardiola. He said that Bayern should sign Messi because that would make them unstoppable.
It's insightful, isn't it?
Oh, someone's been playing Football Manager. Yeah.
So just a little recap of things we've learnt there. Argentina are the same as Pakistan or something like that. You're not allowed to march your way into a Premier League dressing room, and Guardiola should sit up and take note of Lionel Messi because he's a player. Yeah.
But I like the way
he might not have noticed him before.
Yeah. I love it if Diego went to Pep Guardiola and was like, "Look, you need to sign Messi," and Guardiola going, "Oh, you told me he wasn't as good as you." No, I was making a different point. I was making a different point there.
And I maintain that, but I was making a different point.
Elsewhere in Argentina, the Super El Clásico, Boca won, River 2. But the best thing from that game was Riquelme. Wide Roma Riquelme with a delightful free kick.
Yeah, creaky old Riquelme.
I know.
He'll be still doing that. He can still take those free kicks like that when he's 50.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he probably still will be.
The River won, didn't they, in the Bombonera? First time in 10 years or something?
Right, yeah.
I wanted to say something to you guys, which I found quite interesting, is that I watched some of the highlights of that game, and in the highlights was a bit of coverage of the half-time pundits. Mm. Obviously, it was in Spanish, so I can't understand it. But it had a timer in the corner, like counting from zero,
oh, yeah,
counting up, And I was thinking, that's a bit weird. And then I did a little bit more research around it, and I think I've read something that Rupert Friar or Jonathan Wilson said, who both know a lot more than that, about that than me, and they said that what actually happened was, it was getting to the point where Argentinian teams just taking the piss at half-time. And apparently one of the big Argentinian sides in their league game once took 27 minutes for half-time. So they started timing it now.
Brilliant.
So everyone could keep an eye on how long the half-time was going to be, because it was just getting ridiculous. Like, if the players were knackered or whatever, they were just taking loads more time.
Can't the governing body say, stop this?
Well, then
the governing body are playing dirty tricks on everybody.
then I carried on reading about it, and I heard a couple of rumours that Mourinho has been pulled up a few times for doing it with his team.
Right. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, so, don't expect it.
Time games.
Yeah.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. There's your payoff for listening.
You made that sound like it was a whole lead-up just for that game. It wasn't.
On next week's show. It's just remarkable, isn't it? But when I was out there a number of years ago and saw Boca play, the game kicked off like 2 or 3 minutes late.
Not bothered.
Nobody seemed it.
No. It's all right, isn't it? Who cares?
Should we wait for everyone to get it?
Start the game, and they'll come out when they're ready.
Just absolutely outrageous, isn't it? Oh my!
What do they
goodness.
Do if there's like a big disaster and they do like a kind of a minute silence or a few minutes kind of they start the thing? Well, we've only taken 10 minutes.
Yeah. Just done it.
Just
we've done it already.
Just have some of them.
I just think it doesn't matter, does it, Pete? What is an extra minute?
Yeah.
What is an extra minute when you get to those kind of realms? Let's go to Brazil. Ronaldinho. He celebrated his 34th birthday on the weekend, and he was told at the same time that he wouldn't be required for World Cup duty.
I bet he got battered to both commiserate and, in a way, celebrate the fact that he's got the summer off.
Mm. But he's probably just like, I'm having a great time here anyway. Mm. I'll probably still go.
I won't remember this in the morning, so can you ring me again?
I'll be in the stands and I'll have my boots.
Yeah.
I like to think Scolari just jumped out of a cake and told him that. You're not going!
Jeff Reeves.
Mostly because you keep imprisoning me in cakes.
Yeah. Happy birthday, you won't be in the squad. What? I said happy birthday, many happy returns.
Actually, I'm not sure if his birthday was on the weekend. It was certainly recent, but yeah, he was told at the same time.
It might not even be his birthday anytime soon. He's just celebrating that he has a birthday.
Yeah. So Ronaldinho wasn't actually in the last World Cup, was he?
No, he wasn't. His last
match. And he's
match.
Only 34 now.
Well, his last World Cup match was in 2006, and that was when he was 26 years old.
Seems like such a
two-time FIFA World Player of the
such
Year.
Such a household name as well.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It is a shame. 2006. The same
but,
year that...
you know, this is a country that produces so many good players.
Of course,
that, you know, that's going to happen more often.
Very true. So 2006 was the same year that Gigantes do Norte were formed. Giants of the North. Who are they? I hear you shout. Well... they are Brazil's top dwarf team. Brazil's top dwarf team. Their smallest player is 3 foot 3 inches tall, and they were formed to challenge people's perceptions and combat size prejudice. So a very worthy cause, I think you'll find. They play on full-size pitches with regular-sized goals and use against regular-sized teams, and their top attendance so far is 30,000.
Wow.
That is extraordinary.
Two to a seat.
there's the first one. You've had your one. It really is remarkable. I saw this
read
story.
The next bit.
No.
Read the next bit now, just to show how much of a mockery this is as a new story.
For defensive walls and free kicks, a few of them will go on each other's shoulders.
Fuck off, Marcus.
Yeah.
Not having this. Get out.
That's nonsense.
You've undermined it.
Have you not? I sent you the boys the link.
You've undermined it.
I'm not watching it. Even if it said,
is that allowed?
Yeah.
I mean, are you allowed to do that in football in general?
Like, I don't know.
I suppose you probably are, actually.
Yeah. I just never thought of it.
I think they should have
done that for Janinho. Yeah.
I think they have a regular sized goalkeeper.
Every single time a pedant on Twitter asks me about the laws of the game, I read them, and I've never read anything about heads on each other's shoulders.
Yeah. Exactly. Jeez,
how do you have time for a job?
Yeah. Well, that's what my boss said to me about 2 hours ago.
but yeah, have a look at this, ladies and gentlemen, because it is Gigantes do Norte is their name.
They end it on an uplifting note.
This is a serious point.
Well, that's an uplifting note, isn't it?
This team were formed to challenge people's prejudices against Wolves, because they're having a bit of a torrid time, it would appear. And the guy said, I like the first part of the quote where he said, "We just give the crowd what they want. We keep possession of the ball and score goals." They'd have to keep the possession, wouldn't you? Wouldn't imagine the long ball would work very well for them.
No.
Keep it on the deck. But he went on to say, "My life has changed because at one point I was struggling to deal with the prejudice in the streets. Now, wherever I go, I get compliments. Wonderful compliments." Oh, that's lovely stuff,
decent,
isn't it?
Yeah,
and that's Zlatire.
Yeah.
Is it?
Is it still not relevant?
No,
I don't
know. It's not,
no. Oh, before
he's
we leave
got
Brazil,
it recorded, he'll put it in when it's relevant.
Before we leave Brazil, Kaká. I mean, he's not in Brazil now, but he's Brazilian. Go with it. He scored a brace for Milan. Recently announced he'd like to play in the MLS. I think he's going to miss out on Brazil. The
yeah,
World
of course.
Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
of course. Milan having a torrid time at the moment.
Dear, oh dear. Time for Pete's game.
Oh, you ready now, are you, Pete?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah? Have you just locked out 5 minutes of the show for you to get ready? Mm. Don't think you're getting away with that.
Yeah, oh, you're going to be all crying. Oh, I'm thirsty. Looky thirsty.
Sorry, guys. I'm going to need to cut
I've just
that.
Got to source the show.
Let's get back in front of the curtain, eh?
Yeah. I can't find my baby's bowl because I'm a baby crybaby.
Pete,
right.
We're on.
Mike Holmes, thank you for your title.
You've had so much time to prepare.
Thank you for your title and indeed your questions. Have I got news for Hugo Ekiog?
Yeah.
Nice. Like nice, it.
Like. I just like a mention of Hugo Ekiog, so I'll give him a pass
yeah.
for that.
Yeah, fair dues. I miss that guy. I was born in Paris on the 1st of March 1980.
Ooh. Bastille Day, it's not.
No, I like the mention of it, though.
I grew up with 5 brothers and 5 sisters. Oh, you'll get it from that, surely.
Stop. Jibril Cissé?
No.
Although he is around that age, it's a good guess.
Well done, Jimmo.
Well done.
Well, I was wrong, so.
Incorrect guess. I made 112 Premier League appearances for 4 different clubs between 2000 and 2009.
Stop. No.
Stop. Nicholas Anelka. No, he's had more appearances.
No.
Silly,
boy.
Carry on.
In 2006, I signed for Charlton Athletic for $2 million and then was sent off on my debut. I only remained at the club for half a season.
Saucy.
Saucisson. Is that French for sausage?
Yes.
Stop.
Mais oui.
Steed Malbronk?
No.
He didn't play for Charlton, did he?
No, I just... You know this game.
Yep. Yeah.
The listeners do.
I've never played Have I Got News for Hugo Ekiog before, Jim.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jim Weirdo. I'm currently playing in the MLS where I scored my only ever career goal.
Ooh. How interesting.
Career league goal. Did I say career league goal?
You did, yeah.
Okay, cool. I played alongside Obafemi Martins and Clint Dempsey against Toronto FC recently when Jermaine Defosse claimed the headlines by scoring on his debut.
Oh, what? I don't know who this is. I literally don't know who it is. Give us an easier clue, will you?
Neil Mellor once said this about me. Jimbo is the last person you want...
Jimmy Traore.
Yeah, well done.
Jimbo. I mostly got it because you said most of his name.
Jimbo is the last person... No, I didn't say it. Neil Mellor said it. Jimbo is the last person you want marking you in training. He's got the longest legs in football and is a great tackler.
That's nice.
10 caps, 1 goal for Marley.
Ringing endorsement from...
Regularly featuring online polls of the top 11 worst players to have won the Champions League.
But I love the idea of that because the internet culture around that is like quite mocking. But the key operative part of that sentence is Champions League.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which you will never win. And you won't even come close to it.
Nice mention of Neil Mellor.
Nor will I. Yeah, love it. Well, Neil Mellor pops up on Soccer Saturday all the time now.
Right.
Yeah, very, how would I say, a Coulthard-esque jawline.
Right.
Very strong jaw.
We remember that lovely goal against Arsenal.
Of course we do.
That was a great goal.
Yeah, he was highly rated. He was tipped for the very top, wasn't he, Neil Mellor?
Mm-hmm. Let's have some correspondence.
Oh, yeah, that's me, isn't it?
Yes.
I've got it all prepared here, guys.
Uh-huh.
So
well done, guys.
It's all ready.
Get on with it.
Did some copy in person. Congratulations. I'm sure your parents are really proud, Luke.
They're not. They tell me all the time. Question of the week is, how would you explain Spurs manager Tim Sherwood to someone that isn't into football? So interpret that how you like.
Yeah.
Pretty straight one to start with from Chris Moore, a PE teacher doing a headmaster's job.
I like that.
That's quite accurate.
Like
that.
Yeah, that's very good.
Oliver Moss chips in with, I would probably start by saying, do you remember some mothers do have them?
Some people may not get that, but...
Disco77 on the Twitter. Essentially, the whole Del Boy leans and falls through the bar scene from start to finish.
Do you know what he was quite highly rated the first couple of matches that he...
Sherwood?
Yeah.
Not by this... show.
No.
I thought it was okay.
What else we got here? George says, a Cockney Daniel Craig.
She's
probably giving a bit too much service, aren't you? Yeah.
I can see where he's going with it, though.
I like this one. A hooligan Nigel Havers.
Better.
By Steve Lewis.
I like that one a lot.
Steve Pierce says, like Tracy Emin's art, you assume there must be a hidden depth, but ultimately some shit in a bin would do just as good a job.
Oh, dear.
Very harsh.
Stinging.
Very harsh.
Wow.
Jamie Bolland on the Facebook, like an angry wasp trapped inside the gilet of failure. And I think I'll end with this one, which for me is the most accurate of the lot. From Daniel Smith, he says, your mum's first new boyfriend after getting divorced.
Oh, my goodness.
Those are excellent.
Wow. Yeah,
really well strong this week.
That's why you end the show on that, because what other people could contribute is much stronger than what we can contribute
Absolutely.
Ourselves.
Exactly.
But we still get
Shut
the credit.
Up before they realise.
That's the beauty of it.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble, and the email address is thefootballramble.com.
Yeah, we should tell people about the Football Ramble Live, which we've announced on Twitter last week. Now, if you're not on Twitter or Facebook or anything, you won't have seen this, and it's already sold out. So
yeah, that was our big announcement.
Sorry about that. We've trailed it last week.
That'll teach us. We released it. Amazing. Already.
Yeah. So we'll try and do some more, but it's at the Arcona Theatre on the 3rd of June in East London.
But don't come unless you've got a ticket.
Yeah, but the people who've got the tickets know this already.
They do. Yeah, it's a pointless announcement, but I feel like something would be remiss.
Well, yeah, well, we promised an announcement, but the great thing giving them a really disappointing one. Unless they hate us, in which case, why have you listened for so long? Fuck off.
Yeah. I do agree with him, though.
I've also got a plug. Next month, it's my Aunt Molly's.
Is your birthday?
My great Auntie Molly's 80th birthday party. Right. Okay.
Auntie Molly sounds like a euphemism for drugs.
And it's not in this instance.
sounds like an offshore bank account.
At Leon Sonic Community Centre. And my cousin Amanda, who is Stevie Nicks in a Fleetwood Mac tribute band, is performing. So get yourself down there if you're invited.
What's the name of the What's the name of the band?
I think they're called Tango in the Night.
Lovely.
Yeah.
There's a Fleetwood Mac tribute band called Fleetwood Mac. Who opened the festival last year.
Yeah, not in my family, there isn't. There's only one. There's no warring Fleetwood Mac tribute band.
So how many Stevie Nicks tributes have you got in your family? Text in.
One.
I've missed Jim's plugs.
that really did come out of not even left field, but the field next to left field.
Guys, it's what I do.
What, bitterness?
Yeah. Normally you do it when the mics are off, though,
that's true.
Which is the preferred setup. I like the next announcement, though, for live shows will start with back due to overwhelming popular demand.
Trick is to book the smallest venue you can. Sounds out well quick.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a phone box. I don't know how we're going to get
with a sofa.
It's a sofa, yeah.
We should not have sold 1,000 tickets.
Still 200 people that are going to be sorely disappointed by the end of it. I mean, I'm sorry if you didn't buy tickets.
Yeah.
We are already spent.
I think you underestimate how long these recording sessions are.
Pete, you better prepare your game in advance that time. Right?
But that wouldn't really be in the spirit of the show, would it?
That's true, actually, yeah.
Just wing it, Pete.
Don't change it.
Any Absolute Radio gubbins?
Yeah, Absolute Radio gubbins. We've got more Barclays Premier League commentary from Old Trafford. It's going to be Manchester United. No, it's not Old Trafford. It's St. Joseph's Park. Newcastle versus Manchester United will be the live Barclays Premier League commentary match on Absolute Radio, 12:15 a.m. and online at absoluteradio.co.uk.
Derby of the fuck-ups.
Betfair. The Betfair today.
Betfair.com/footballramble is where you go to open up a Betfair account and you'll get a match bet up to £50, and you'll also be helping the show out as well, so please do that if you're of the gambling persuasion.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Luke.
Oh, goodbye. One final thing. Portsmouth actually won away against Newport County.
No one cares.
And they may not get relegated out of the Football League, so we should probably mark that in some way.
Pete,
look it out for love.
And I will. Goodbye.
It's Left Eye.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code RAMBLE at the checkout. A better web starts with your website.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.